Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me now for our Monday reboot segment, Lewis Campbell is joining us today from Synergy Computer Systems in Farmington. Lewis, good morning. Good to see you. We can actually see you today.
Good morning.
How are things?
Things are wonderful. We had a great Veterans Day last week and all the good stuff that happened.
Very good.
I just want to say thank you to all our veterans and people who have defended the U.S.
Definitely. We appreciate their service. That's very true. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are in the news this week. And one of the stories that you were telling me about is something about some initiatives on the ballot earlier this month for promoting what, local broadband development in some states?
Yeah, so specifically in Denver and Chicago, there's local community broadband projects that have been proposed, and apparently the funding or the permission went up for a vote, you know, during this last election. And in Chicago, for instance, 90% of voters approved a referendum saying that the city of Chicago should act to ensure that all the community areas have access to broadband. In Denver, 83.5% approved question 2H, which is similar to that. So that's a good sign. We've talked about before here, you know, the idea of community-based broadband and how it interacts, or in some cases doesn't interact with, you know, corporate-supported, you know, basically ISPs.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that we're seeing people go down that road.
Yeah, and are you thinking that's just because they want maybe more competition for the private companies, and maybe that the city governments could provide the same service or better service at a more competitive price? I don't know.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think the big reason just is to be able to provide the kind of broadband support in you know, a lot of these are around public areas like parks and things like that, to be able to provide that kind of broadband support for their communities. In situations where, you know, people, companies, ISP companies feel like it's not profitable enough to do so.
I see. Got you. Interesting. Okay. So those two cities have kind of voter approval, I guess, to move forward with some of these ideas then, huh?
Yeah. And I think the other reason I think these kind of stories are important for us to talk about is that there is a definite downstream influence on our rural communities, right? Because if community broadband like this can be supported in cities, then here, where the economic situation is the same, right? Large ISPs really don't have a financial incentive to provide broadband to rural areas, which everyone here knows, you know, affects us in a great way. Then if there are places where people have figured out ways to provide that broadband otherwise, we can follow those models maybe and be able to deliver better broadband service here.
True. Very interesting.
In the Four Corners.
Gotcha. Okay. Another thing I want to ask you about is this HP program, right? Free ink for life. Sounds like a great deal until it's not. So an HP is going to change that, huh?
Yeah. So it used to be free ink for life. Now with the HP Instant Ink program, you don't own the ink cartridges or the ink in them. So you have to pay a recurring monthly fee based on the number of pages you anticipate printing. And then HP will mail you cartridges with enough ink. If you exceed your estimated page count, HP is going to bill you for every page. And if you choose not to pay, your printer stops working, even if there's ink in the cartridge.
What?
So this is... Yeah,
all
so
right.
This is part of the whole, you know, we've been taught, we have been moving as a world to these smart devices that everybody loves because they do so much. But again, the downside, and this isn't the first instance this is of this at all, the downside of smart devices is that the companies can move you over to what's called a monthly recurring revenue model, which everybody wants now. This is the holy grail of all companies. And if you don't pay your monthly recurring fee, then they can tell your smart device to stop working.
Wow.
So this is
Interesting.
just another instance of that. Yeah.
Good luck
Now
for
it's only
that.
99 cents a month, roughly. It's estimated like
Okay.
99 cents a month for the HP program, but still, it's not a happy thing.
Yeah. But I don't, now I'm thinking about that because, if you're, so if I'm paying $12 a year for ink, that sounds like cheaper than any cartridge I could buy.
Yeah, it's I don't, and that and I'm not
There's
sure.
probably
Again,
some
I'm not
fine
sure
print.
exactly.
I bet there's some fine
Yeah, where
print.
that, but yeah, it's really the whole like turn the thing off that's kind of scary, and the whole idea of being locked into a monthly fee. So, we've seen a lot of things go to the cloud now,
Right.
and I've argued for a long time that everybody thinks the cloud is the greatest thing since sliced cheese, but I've argued that that's really a kind of a marketing ploy. Because really, there are great things about the cloud for users, no doubt. But the biggest advantage to the cloud is that it allows companies to completely control what they're offering and also allows them to force consumers into monthly fees,
Right.
which
Well,
is
yeah.
really financially what they want. Monthly recurring revenue, when you're sitting in a boardroom, monthly recurring revenue really works better than one-time,
Sure.
revenue.
Right.
So,
And I think I agree with you too. I hate when they change the rules on a program. If you join free ink for life and then they're like, "Oh, guess what? That only lasted for 5 years, 10 years, whatever." So, not a good thing. Okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you too about, Lewis, as we come to our remaining moments here, is we've talked a lot about flying cars, you and I, and I think we both think that's pretty cool technology. And now there's news from no other than the New York Times, for heaven's sakes, about the first flying car hub in the United States to be built in Orlando, Florida by 2025. What do you think?
Yeah,
Holy smokes.
that's interesting to me, and it continues along that arc that we've been looking at of the whole move to flying cars, right? Where we had drones, and then we started having, companies show off their prototypes for flying cars, which a lot of them are just like very big drones that can carry people and cargo and things like that. And now we're looking at Orlando talking about, hey, let's make a hub here for flying cars. So there's in the news they're comparing a lot of, people are comparing this to the Jetsons,
Right.
right?
It's right in the headline.
Meet the Jetsons.
Yeah.
So
But they're granting, what, $800,000 in tax rebates to this German aviation company to build this hub, I guess, this flying car hub in the Orlando area.
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And they say, yeah, they're partnering with this German company. Now, remember, New Mexico did something similar, not with flying cars, but did something similar with the spaceport, and that ended up being fairly controversial because, it took a long time to see something coming out of it. I would argue that you are starting to see stuff come out of it now, but so it's really early for Orlando to do this, just like we were with the spaceport. We'll have to kind of, stay tuned to that channel and see how it goes, but hopefully
Right.
it will be successful.
Interesting. So you don't think we're going to see flying cars by 2025? We may just see this hub for them by 2025.
The jury's out. I
Okay.
think we'll see flying cars by 2025, but I don't know if they're going to be in widespread use
Got you. I
or
mean the
whether the hub's going to be like this big, it may be just getting off the ground at that point. I would think they'd get it, built and moved in that point if everything stays okay between Orlando and their investor.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, in the photo that they're showing here, it looks like they're not really, they look like little planes, not really a, I mean, not how I would picture a flying car, but what do I know? I don't know what flying cars are supposed to look like. So who
Yeah, this
knows?
little, it's like a plane with like a million engines on each wing and on the
Oh, yeah.
tail.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is. I gotcha.
So.
All right. Well, we'll see. I don't know. But anyway, interesting. Well, Lewis, thank you so much for joining us by video this week. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, I'm glad to see you,
Yeah,
actually see
right.
you.
Exactly.
And wish everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week.
All right, you too. Stay well and stay safe. That is Lewis Campbell, everyone. He is my guest from Synergy Computer Systems, part of our Monday Reboot segment every Monday right here on KSJE Farmington. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.